I'd like to start with a call to order. And Aaron, if you could do it by name, just so people are in some ways introduced to the audience, that would be great.
Sure. So, Commissioner Grobor? Mielander?
Mielander,
sorry.
Mielander.
Carlson?
Here.
Somas?
Here.
Skolnick?
Here.
Yermas?
Here.
And Malvern. So we're missing Hammered and Buchan and Gail. I think Brent and Trent will be here. They might just be late.
Okay, and Gail's out of town.
And Gail, I know, is not going to be.
And I'm present too. I'm Schultz.
Oh, sorry. And you're right. And you were here too.
The second item on the agenda is to set the agenda. Is there any discussion or requested changes from members of the commission? Barry?
Yes, I would like to add under new business the addition of the Stevenson House. It was an item that had been shown in Aaron's in the emails that were in the attachment that it was deleted, and so I wanted to reopen the discussion.
And is there an address for this, just to get people
613 Second Street.
Okay.
613 Second Street.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just a comment. I know this, in the letter it said that Aaron...
This isn't discussion right now. It's okay.
No other.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, I have two items. Aaron, I'd request that under old business we get a log cabin update as B. And there may not be any, but we acted upon that and haven't heard anything back, so I'm just curious about that. And I'd like to advise people present, because the commission has been advised of this, about a change that I'm recommending.
I just got a text from Brent. He's locked out of the building.
At what door? Yeah, find out which door, because that's one of the confused ones. I think Gary's going to go get it.
Aaron, there may be other people coming, so you know, maybe they can
leave the door. They generally leave the door open for us.
You think we should wait a minute?
Well, let's wait.
I mean, he's right here. It's not as
easy. I knew Tim said he was coming too.
We can always go down to the police area and get him that way.
Yeah, but I don't know if everyone else knows that.
It's on the door. It says if door is locked. And most of us came in before 5, so...
I thought it was kind of like staff, but I mean, I could be wrong. Before council.
It's good to control access to the door, so you don't look around.
Okay, this was an opening. Then why are you here? you have to have a straight person. Okay, Barry, Aaron, what's going on?
They're on their way. They're walking. They're all down in 104, actually. There's a few people coming.
And so is this door now open?
It is.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, everything should be.
Are you all on mic? Because I can hardly hear Barry. Are you hot?
You just have to lean into it.
You hear me now?
Yeah,
okay. No, we'll just have to talk.
We tried to keep you up, Brad.
You might hit them.
So do we have anyone else? Aaron, is anyone else coming from the commission? Okay.
Trent, I did not hear from, so I assumed he was coming, but I don't know.
Okay. All right, where I was simply a bit of information to the people who were attending, the public, that I will be making a recommendation, and I'm telling you now in case this will affect your plans for the evening. And I'm simply going to read this so that I cover all the details. In considering the overwhelming volume of materials submitted by the owner on the Hotel Carlton, 135 pages, which were submitted late in their one and only submission after business hours on Friday the 22nd, I recommend that the HBC follow our agenda and end our September meeting after closing the Hotel Carlton public hearing, which my recommendation is we open it only in order to continue the hearing to a date that we will discuss. That would be the October 24th meeting or the November 28th meeting. And that is up to the commission to discuss what they recommend. Following the continuance vote, we would close the public hearing and seek motions to and a second to vote to end the HPC meeting. To use Mr. McCool's phrase from the last line of his letter sent to the city in 14 pages late Friday night, Rochester must continue this hearing, quote, so that we have a full and fair opportunity to review and respond, end quote. Again, we will repeat this at that point in time, but I just wanted anyone who is here for this hearing to be aware of that, in case they did want to stay or they did not want to stay. All right, the third item on the agenda is the open forum. Aaron, what are the time limits for the open forum?
I think we do 4 minutes.
Do you have a timer set up?
We're good.
Okay. The open forum period is for something that's not on the agenda. If there's anyone who would like to come forward and speak about a subject regarding heritage preservation, please come forward and you will be welcome. And there's a timer that will be ticking to tell you when the 4 minutes is approaching. Please give your name and address.
John Kriesel, 22 3rd Street Southwest. I don't think what Barry brought up means when he was making reference to the Stevens Building on 2nd Street, does that mean it's on the agenda? Because I can't speak then.
Did we approve the revised agenda?
Yes. I didn't actually take a vote. Shall I take a vote? Do people wish me to summarize what was mentioned? Since you weren't here for it, the requested changes. Barry asked that the Stevenson House, which is 613 2nd Street Southwest, be put on into new business, as it was a property that got removed after it was on Appendix A, which was something that the task force on the ordinance worked on. I think that was it. I asked for two things, that we have a log cabin update under old business, because we acted on that a number of months ago and nothing has happened. And I advised, which you came in on, of the change in the agenda that I'm recommending. So it was those three items. Do I have a motion to approve? Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Mm-hmm. Motion carries unanimously. Now you may talk about it is on the agenda.
Okay. Okay. I believe the information, the supportive information that's been obtained thus far, indicates that that is a Harold Crawford house. I would just want to update some members of the HBC Commission the importance of Harold Crawford to this community. And I'm going to suggest, in the past at least, the lack of due diligence in paying attention to Harold Crawford. I want to remind everybody that without any public discussion, the post office was demolished, which was Harold Crawford, as well as Central High School, and as well as the Kaufman, later RCT building. Without any discussion, that is all Crawford, Harold Crawford. So I would just submit to all of you that to not include this as part of a discussion as to seeing how it all plays out. I am pleased that you put it on the agenda so that you can treat with it with due diligence. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kriesel. Would anyone else care to speak?
Nancy Slocum, 621 5th Avenue Southwest. And I just wanted to piggyback on John's. And it's about Harold Crawford. And I just wondered if there might be something said regarding you know, all of his architecture and all of the houses that were built by him and the buildings, that we might at some point as a commission say something about how we feel about his architecture and if it might not be included as a given perhaps for treating these as potentially historic buildings. I for one grew up in a house that was a Crawford house. The 106 group said they didn't have a clue who the architect was, and you know they incorrectly assessed it all the way across the board.
But I guess 106 group phase one report was the architect unidentified?
Yes. Yeah, and there were several other things that were incorrect in the report. But, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about Harold Crawford, but I think that he certainly has done some really beautiful buildings and is certainly historic in Rochester, and that's all I would say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would wish to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to close the open forum period. And move on to the consent agenda. The only item on the consent agenda is our August 22nd draft minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review those? Do I have a motion?
I would like to amend the minutes to add in the names of the people on the subcommittees. There are two subcommittees.
Are you making a motion with the amendment?
I'd like to move to approve it. With an amendment which would add the names of the people on the two subcommittees that were approved at the last meeting. One of them was the Demolition by Neglect subcommittee, and the other one was the Armory Review subcommittee. I just think as a matter of practice, we should put in our minutes who is on the subcommittee so other people in the future will know who it was that was introduced.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. And thank you for the review. Okay, we are now moving on to old business. And the first area on the agenda is PVN updates. And Aaron, just as a question, there were no details here. And I was trusting that we would get an update on the revolving loan fund and on the downtown historic district.
Yeah, I could give updates. I didn't get anything until an email this afternoon from PVN. So at that point, you had received so many emails from me already about this meeting, it didn't seem good to send another one that you guys would have to try to read. So basically, right now, the active work orders is work order number two, which is that revolving loan fund. I had mentioned last meeting that I gotten a draft. It was way more than I think what we had anticipated. So I had it
way more what?
Detailed. It was like, it went from ours, which was about 2 pages, to about 40 pages, and I think we were hoping for something maybe a little bit in between that. It wasn't really realistic for what we were looking for. It was looking at it more almost as like a business development sort of loan setup. So anyways, I had some comments about that. PVN's kind of revised it back to something more than what we're looking for, which is strictly a preservation tool. And they should have, they said they have it ready to send. They're doing one last review. They use a sub-consultant, if you remember, for this. So my guess would be is I should have a draft hopefully this week, and if not tomorrow, then it'll be Brent will get it. As soon as he gets that draft, he'll forward it out to you guys to review so you have it, and then we'll have it on the next meeting agenda where you could take a look at it, discuss it, and get that. Because really the next steps with that is that if you're okay with the documents, we do need the HPC to recommend their approval to the council, and then at that point the council can approve the revolving loan fund policy, the loan documents, things like that. Then they also need to allocate the funding that we have still set aside for now, but I don't think it's going to stay set aside forever if we don't keep this going. And so we would want to see this happen after you have your next meeting, and hopefully it's ready to go and you're okay with it. But I'll get it out to you in plenty of time, or Brent will get it out to you in plenty of time, so you have a chance to review it. And then hopefully at the next meeting you can get it adopted and move it forward.
Aaron, I have one question, and it's just that we have on this commission a number of very intelligent people regarding mm-hmm. funding and things like mm-hmm. that, it would strike me that even if they just do a cursory review, the 40-page document, I would like it to go out to the whole commission, and those people who may be interested may review it more carefully, because I'd like their insight at this step, yeah, and then their insight at the next step.
I think the issue was is that it wasn't an historic grant/loan program. It was a program that had requirements about job creation, pay rate for the jobs, increase in taxable value. There was huge sections that had nothing to do with what we were attempting to do with this. That was the issue. So that's all I wanted to do was cut all that out and stick with the historic stuff. And so then you will get it. It just, it wasn't what we, what was requested of them. So you will get it now, but it'll just be with all those things removed. I don't know. I expressed my frustration that they provided something that we weren't looking for. It had aspects that talked about preservation of historic properties, but they tied them to all these other things that we're not trying to tie this funding to. So that's why I told them, you got to cut all these things out and get it strictly back down to preservation of designated buildings and what that policy is. And that's what they've done, and that's what you'll get then to review. But it didn't make much sense to send something out that literally did not match what we were trying to do at all.
I'm not going to try to speak to this. Is there anyone else? I mean, I usually like to look over material.
No, no, I think that makes sense. Otherwise, we just get it a few days in advance, right?
And right, but you can look after that things are going to be taken out.
Yes.
Because out of curiosity, oh, about the process. I'll ask Mark to paraphrase. Because,
well,
again,
I think
you're
you'd like
people who's much more of an expert.
Well, I think you'd like to see the full document and then the edits they would make to it down to the more streamlined version, so we can just make sure we understand what changes.
I can send you both. You'll see the, well, I won't send you a red line because it's a lot of red line, but I'll send you the original, and then once we get the we'll send you the original they submitted, then the final, hopefully, version.
Flavor of what was edited.
Yeah, that would be appreciated.
Okay, we can do that.
Thank you.
You'll share that with everybody, not just me.
I'll send it to the HPC.
Yeah, well, you're not the only person.
I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You said expert, I would say.
Well, you were looking at me, otherwise I would have passed on to Tom or Dan.
Okay, so I'll do that. So hopefully that's this week. You'll get that to have plenty of time to review. The next one we have is that work order number 3, which is the Downtown Historic District. From my understanding, they received more information today that was submitted to them. I don't know. I didn't get copied on it. And that they would want some more time to review that information, make sure that they're incorporating into it. So their guess is within about 2 weeks they'll have that done and then draft back. And the same situation, once we get that draft back, we'll send it out to the HPC for review and then formal discussion at your next meeting to keep that process going as well.
About 2 weeks.
Yep. That's what they're anticipating. They said they just got the information today. I'm assuming it was an outside submittal from the Conservancy, but I don't know. That's my guess. I asked for clarification, but I didn't hear back since I got this pretty late. So,
Brent, just as a matter of practice, I don't know if all the commission members know Brent and the fact that he will be part temporary or standing.
So,
but if he could be introduced, that might be useful to people.
Okay, I was actually going to do that in B, but I keep referencing him, so I should probably do it now. So, so yeah, actually, I can let Brent introduce himself, but just so you know that in the interim, until the new city administrator starts and my replacement's hired, we don't really know who's going to long-term work with the HPC. In the short term, Brent's going to handle it just as an as-needed basis. But the hope is that once the new administrator starts in mid-October, and then hopefully sometime after that, they'll have my replacement hired. The new administrator will take a look and determine who's going to be the staff person for the HPC. But in the meantime, it'll be Brent that's going to kind of be the contact and things like that. So I don't know, let Brent introduce himself.
So I know some of you already. I spent 17 years at the Rochester Homestead County Planning and Zoning Department and been about 3 years, not quite 3 years, in the city administration office. As Aaron mentioned, I will be filling in until our office decides we can staff the HPC.
And if we treat you well, you'll...
Sure.
Thank you. And for people, somebody new who's come in is Teresa McCormick has joined us. She's a non-voting member of the HPC representing the Homestead County History Center, or the History Center of Homestead County, excuse me. So she's sitting at that end. Any other questions on the PVM work before we move on?
I do have the work order number 4 update still. Okay. So work order number 4 was the direction as far as providing assistance in putting in a preservation section in the comprehensive plan. So PBN has started that process. They've been working with the planning department on it, and they expect that within 2 weeks they will have a draft to the HPC for review, and then also to the planning department to get any comments that they might have on it. So again, it'll be about that 2 week time frame, and they'll have that work done to you for your comments, planning's comments, and then at the next meeting you can review that. And as long as you're good with the wording, then we can officially submit that to the planning department to include in the comprehensive plan.
Okay, Aaron, have they been working within the statewide training manual for HPCs? There's sections in there about what would need to be in the comprehensive plan.
I would assume they are, but I don't know. I would guess that they would be using that, but I don't know for sure that they
are. Okay, so we're going to get everything at once as opposed to, like, portion 1 and portion 2.
It's not going to be as... It won't be that extensive. I mean, it'll be a good amount of information, but it's one section, basically, so... If planning decides they want to split it up as far as where it goes into the comp plan, that might be something different, but it'll be one section of information that'll be submitted.
Okay, and it was 2 weeks for the downtown historic district and...
2 weeks for this one as well.
Okay, so, and then the rolling loan fund is
hopefully
probably...
this week.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the hope, so.
Okay.
Yep, so that's all the updates I have for PBN right now.
Okay.
Oh, and I guess, we'll talk about that later. Or not.
You sure?
So.
We'll be flexible with you.
No, we're good.
This is your last meeting with us.
I know. No, that's all I needed with that.
Okay, can you now provide an update? Is there any update on the log cabin?
Well, actually, can I do the next steps quick, and then we'll go to log cabin? Just it makes it a little easier to keep it in order.
Sure.
So the only thing I wanted to comment on for the next steps was just that Brent will kind of be the interim staff person with the HPC. As I just mentioned, I'm leaving tomorrow. Our new city administrator doesn't start until mid-October. I'm doubting my replacement will be hired until November, December, somewhere in that time frame. If that. So clearly the administration department is short-staffed right now. We just don't have the staff capacity to put the time in that I have with the HPC, basically. So what we're saying is moving forward is that in October, because of this, we're not recommending... We do not have staff people to really deal with the HPC issues. So we're asking that you do not have an October meeting because we don't really have the staff to support it, and that's your next meeting in November, and hopefully by that time the new administrator will be here over a month. He will have a better idea of what the HPC is doing. I know there's conversations about what staff person or department even should be working with the HPC long term, so those are all things that will hopefully be worked out by then. But in the interim, really what Brent's role is going to be is if the planning department or building safety receives any sort of building permit or development permit application for either a landmark or a potential landmark property, or challenged potential landmark property, if any of those things come in, that application will be automatically sent to Brent. Brent will then share that with PVN, and PVN will review it, and they will let Brent know if they feel like the work being proposed would have any sort of negative impact on the historic integrity of the property. If it does, you can grab one up here. Sorry, we're not used to having so many people up there.
The other member who has arrived is Brent Fouché. It's Trent Hommert. I apologize. Did I pronounce your
name? We got to add a tedier thing eventually. I have it wrong on the minutes, too, and that's why I think it got added to that way. So.
It's correct.
We'll fix it someday. There you go. So anyway, I apologize for that. So to back up a little, in the interim, any of those applications that come, Brent will receive, he'll automatically forward to PVN. PVN reviews them. If they feel that what's being proposed will have some sort of negative impact on the historic integrity of the property, we will bring it to the HPC. So a meeting will be scheduled because we only do have 60 days to review and respond to these sort of things. So we will schedule a meeting. It'll be a one agenda item, depending on how many applications, but the meeting will be scheduled so you can review that application and discuss what you want to do with it. And we'll, at that time, if that happens, we'll explain what your options are, depending on if it's a landmark or a potential landmark property. But we will address these things when they come up, because we do have to. We do have the 60-day limit to respond if we're going to do something where they would not issue a permit. So really, that's the interim plan. And then in November, we'll be staffed, I think, enough to be able to hold what we're recommending as your next meeting.
Trent, did you hear the beginning of this? Okay. What Aaron was talking about is, because this is his last week, Brent Svenby, who's sitting there in the red shirt, will be interim staffing us. The city administrator, I believe, is hiring two assistant city administrators. The new city administrator is starting October 15th, I believe. And his comment was that they're understaffed, and they're asking that the HPC not hold their regular meeting in October, but respond only to emergencies. Is that a valid summation?
Yep.
I'd like to know if there's any conversation about this from commission members.
I'm not. I mean, we are really behind, and we have demolition by neglect. I would like, personally, I'd like to move faster on the downtown district. I mean, we've been waiting for quite a while. We said reports ready in 2 weeks. I'm not in favor of just kicking the can further down the road. I just want us to get up to speed. We're not. And I just think it's very important to deal with some of these things, even to have discussions amongst ourselves. We're behind. We don't, if we wait until October on that, the logic that he's giving, we don't know that his replacement's going to be appointed until December. Then we just don't have meetings in October, November, and December, and then we'll be even further behind. I just think we've reached the point where we really have to have even bare bones staffing and something so we can get heritage preservation up to speed. And I just think Aaron knows how far behind we are, because he's been pleading with us to prioritize this stuff. We haven't had time to have discussions. If we wait until November and December, we'll be even further behind. And while I realize there are a lot of pressing priorities, I really appeal to Newman is here, so as the acting city official, and hopefully he can have Brent allow Brent to sort of work with us and allow us to have
a Well, can I make one comment or recommendation? Is that, I mean, Barry's right, where we've still have these lists that nobody's worked out yet. I mean, we have not prioritized the challenge potential landmark lists to start scheduling those hearings in front of the HPC. We also haven't looked at the potential landmark lists to start scheduling those reviews. What would be the difference if you had your subcommittee? I don't know if you've established one for the lists yet or not, but you talk about your demo by neglect subcommittee. If you want to have a subcommittee get together and start trying to prioritize these lists, I think that's a very valid use of your time to go through. But
we finish with the downtown historic district in 2 weeks. Why? And then we're going to have a major hearing, in the future.
And the issue with that is that the downtown district is a big issue. It's not something where you just take it and say, okay, we're going to run with this. I mean, it does take time for the staff to review and be able to comment on. It takes time for you to review. Well, I think you know staff's position.
Yeah, what did you say? One voice at a time, so we can make a record, please. Gary, please.
Yes, I will say from my perspective, you will have a meeting in November. You'll have a meeting in December. The only request was to not have a meeting in October. It's one meeting. That's all that we requested. I will say we're going to be short. We're still going to be short-staffed for quite a while. I mean, we're going to be with three professionals instead of five, probably till, effectively, pretty much till the end of October. And I don't know, the hiring process is such that I doubt if we're going to have anybody on board and to replace those two positions until the end of November. So you will have a meeting in November, you will have a meeting in December. We're not saying not have meetings in November and not have meetings in December. That never was put on the table.
What about having Brent and his staff at the meeting from this time?
Well, I would be more inclined to Aaron's suggestion that if you have subcommittees, why don't you have a subcommittee on the demolition by neglect. I don't know that is an issue that we can really add a lot to. I know you're working with Pat on that. So I would think you could make progress on that. Obviously, if you have pressing matters that are ready to go, if some other things come up, then I guess we would consider a meeting in October, but at this point we're just asking for a break for the meeting in October, but not November and not December.
I just think city business has to be.
Well, we agree, but it's not often that you have a department. Our department should probably be about 8 professionals. We've got 5. We're down to 3. And that's the reality of the way the city has been doing its business for a long time.
You know, I would like to make the argument that I think that getting those lists finalized is, for me anyway, a real priority in guiding how we move forward and what we prioritize on our agendas moving forward. So if we don't have a formal meeting, having a group of folks get together to really get those lists done, I think is...
Well, let me ask, we identify neglect, we have the lists, anything else?
I was just going to ask, so if we had a meeting, a working session, how does that alleviate staff from workload? You know, we can still meet, there's no agenda, there's all this.
If there's a quorum, I think it's a different kind of requirement. Is that what you're thinking, Gary?
Well, I'm thinking if you're working on your list that is solely... I mean, we really don't have a lot of input into your list.
But if we do that and there's a quorum.
I understand.
Okay.
But I don't know that we would need to be
there. Do we know where we are with those lists? I mean,
I think I got 4 responses.
Because I know I responded. Yep. And where are we at? It'd be nice to know where we're at with those. Yeah, I mean, I think what they're asking is reasonable. I understand what it's like to be short-staffed. And so I think, though, with what Barry is saying, it'd be nice to know where we are with the list, those that prioritized, and then move forward with that, with a small working group, to have something to present.
Even bigger than a small working group. What they're saying is we can have a session at our normal meeting time.
Yeah, it's a working
session focused on the list, perhaps, and
then
left.
That sounds, yes.
Frequently, we don't actually have time to literally, as a commission, discuss something in depth.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Could we do that without the staff?
Well, we could probably attend the meeting if we don't have to do any meeting prep for other items.
It's not the hour and a half. Right. It's not the hour and a half of attending the meeting. That's the issue.
It's the preparation.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Aaron's provided a lot of information for us to consider that some people have not reviewed and the response on. So that's the part we should focus that discussion force those
reviews. I agree.
And say that everybody who's coming to
the meeting. I'm not saying demolition land neglect. That land, you know,
the point would be everyone who comes to the working session should have prepared for the working session. Would that seem like a reasonable approach?
It does.
Or to discuss your.
Okay. Then I don't know. I almost think that we need a motion to change our October meeting to a working session with a motion including what we plan to address. And Brent, can we work with you to send out, the request to attend or the reminders or something?
The only thing you'd have to do is post it.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're doing.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So I'll move that our October meeting, instead of being the traditional meeting where we make decisions, is the working session with commission members to go through some of those items that we need to have done, like the lists.
I would only comment that you're starting to get into an area that staff is going to want to probably provide comment on when you start talking about a district. I mean, I think your list priorities and your demo might neglect, we've given you all the information you need there. But we haven't seen and we haven't commented or given you anything on that. You're turning into a meeting then. I think if you stick to the 2 items that you've discussed, the prioritization of the lists and the discussion of demo by neglect, I think that would be...
So that's a motion she made, I second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Gary and Aaron, thank you for the explanation. Okay.
Log cabin update. we have not heard anything. I asked Building Safety if they've received any permits for it, other new ones. So,
no, we have not. We received the demolition permit. The approval came through by the Planning Department on the 27th of June. I think that's what I did. But they have not picked up, we have not actually issued that building permit for the demolition of the log cabin.
So the application came in, but it wasn't picked up?
But it wasn't picked up.
It was paid for?
Nope, it wasn't paid for yet either. So there was an urgency then, this earlier this summer, but I think the urgency went away, so they...
Well, and I was actually asking, because the whole point was to start it when ice cream was done.
Yeah, right.
And then now, of course, there's also going to be a candy store selling, I think, ice cream right at the major store, so I'm not so sure the demand is going to be there quite as much as it would have been before.
Again, it's just because we acted on it. I don't know how... Aaron, how do we track something like this?
Basically, I think moving forward, if something happens, can you let Brent know? And basically, that'll be, then Brent will update you. Or
okay.
Depending on when it is, somebody will update you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, anything else under next steps, Aaron?
No.
Okay, I'd like to move on to new business. And the only item here is one that Barry had added, which is the Crawford Building at 613 2nd Street Southwest. Do you have any information to share, or how are you?
Well, I first found out about that. It wasn't on the list anymore when we got the letter from, I guess it's the owners who were involved with the first hearing. And it mentioned that it had been eliminated by Aaron based on his understanding of the, I think, of the 106 group report. The 106 group, though, hadn't done it really, which I looked into it at that point, they hadn't done really a complete review. They said they didn't even know who the architect was. And the architect was Howard Crawford, who was a major architect. So there were some certain aspects that they didn't fully understand. So I'm just asking that it be put back on the pending list and that it... of a potential historical list, and that we take a further look at it. I could go into more details if you want. There are some about the styling of it or more about it in history, but that could wait for another time probably. But I don't think we should just eliminate it at this point. I think we should add it back because especially because of the architect that was involved with that building. Harold Crawford, for example, on page 133 on Houses on the Hill, the life and architecture of Harold Crawford talks about its Renaissance revival architecture, and it was a historical context would be neighborhood development 1954 to 1970. So there's actually more there than I think the 106 group just didn't know about that. And that's not, again, it was supposed to be a preliminary assessment, and that was that. But later on, my understanding is that the task force of the HPC put that on the list as part of Appendix A, which was supposed to be a list of historic properties. And so I don't really want to remove it. I'd rather have it reviewed, and then we'll see what happens with it, rather than just say it's not historic, and we haven't really fully reviewed it, especially since the 106 was drawn about the architect and some other features.
Aaron, can you comment about this process?
Well, I guess my only comment would be is that I don't have anything to the contrary than what the 106 group has. So that's what the decision was based on. And I didn't, most of the other ones, I got something from the Conservancy, but I didn't find something on this one. So maybe I could have missed it. Trust me, all these properties, I can appreciate that. But when I didn't have any documentation, it didn't make any sense. So I guess what I would say is that if you're interested in considering it still, then we should get... The HPC should get more documentation that shows that there maybe is a question here, and then you can decide should it remain on the potential list, of which I'm sure will be the challenge potential list, or not.
I just want to make sure it's protected until we do that, because again, we do have information that is specifically that it's a Harold Crawford building, and some of the other. I could send you some additional information.
But it's not me. Like I said, it's got to be, this is something the HPC would need to review. So I guess my recommendation would be is that if there is additional information out there, it should be provided to the HPC, and then it can be discussed at the next meeting. And if you think something's really going to happen in the interim, just if a permit comes up for it, we'll look for it. Right. We'll look for it if something comes up in the interim. I know of nothing. But if something would, we can make sure that we're made aware of it at least. But it was, in my opinion, I could not find justification for why it was there. And I had justification for the others that were added, and I didn't have it for this one. I thought it was simply a mistake. So I think the HPC just needs to see the justification for it. And if I missed it, that is on me. But I did have it for the others, which I didn't adjust anything else. For this one, I thought it was simply a mistake that it was there, which we did make a few mistakes. So.
Were there any other buildings that you actually had removed from the list?
Right. Well, like I said, and this was one that didn't go forward because I didn't have anything for it, and I assumed it was mistakenly added, that's all. But the other ones, there's nothing else that's been taken off because we have the justification for all of them. So I guess my recommendation would be is if you're interested in considering this, have information submitted for the next meeting in November, whenever this fits on the agenda, to be considered. I mean, strictly this is a conversation about is this a potential or not, that's all. So.
Yep. Basically correcting and adding data.
So yep, that's why I said.
And that's what you're asking.
Yeah, because I didn't have that for this one. And like I said, I don't know why. If it's there, I didn't have it. I have it for others that the 106 group has said no, but we had information submitted that said yes, and that's how it made it on the initial list. This was one I had nothing. So.
Okay, I have another question about this. If that is submitted and then the HPC considers it, what action does the HPC need to take recommend that it go on the potential list?
Well, so basically what you're going to want to do is clearly this is going to be a challenged potential landmark property. So all you're going to do is say, we want to add this to the challenged potential landmark property list. They'll go on that list, and you guys can prioritize it however you want to prioritize it on that list. It will be flagged, though, and if something pops up, you guys will be notified and you'll have to decide if you want to do something with it or not.
Okay, we are now moving on to public hearings. And I'd like staff to give guidelines on the public hearings as far as sequence of testimony, length of time, etc.
So, you know, basically what we have for our time limits is we've adopted what the council has adopted. So the initial presentation, which would be by the property owner, is 10 minutes. And then after that, we allow comments from anybody that wishes to comment, and it's 5 minutes, is that right? 5 minutes. And then at the end, the owner again will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if they'd like.
The HPC also changed that the other people presenting?
Yep.
One person could quote, rebut.
Do a rebuttal as well.
In terms of the public testimony.
Yep, that's right.
That was a funny word, wasn't it? Sorry.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Does everyone understand that? Okay. The first public hearing is on the 103 6th Avenue Southwest. And Aaron, do I simply open the public hearing?
Yep, open the public hearing. Then I would say invite the property owner to initiate
I'd like
the
to open this public hearing and invite the property owner to speak, please.
Harold Powers, 275 Salem Point Drive, and I own the 103 6th Avenue Southwest, and I also own 613 2nd Street Southwest. And both of those properties are residential programs for chemically dependent people, rugged addicts. And the 613 property, we've got 30 beds. And then the 103, we've got 20 beds. We've been in operation since 1991, about 26 years. In between the two programs, we've had over 5,500 people go through both programs. And people will come up to me today and ask me what goes on in those houses, because nobody knows. We're licensed by the state of Minnesota and the county, Olmsted County, and everybody's under the HIPAA rule in our house, and our both programs for confidentiality. And what we're planning on doing in the future, we're cramped for space and cramped for beds, So we've also owned the parking lot right behind the 103 property. And what we're trying to do is, and we've been working with an architect to build a facility there that will, that we can then move the women into that one and then knock down the brick house and then build another facility on that and then bring the men over to that facility, is our plan. And then in the vacant lot over there, we'd use for parking and maybe eventually do some more programming over there, outpatient stuff, and put a building on that also. So, you know, my wife and I bought that property for investment and part of our retirement. And if either one of those properties are designated a landmark property, they'll be worth nothing because nobody wants to, you know, it's a burden if you have investment property that you can't knock down. So I ask that the 103 be taken off the list and the 613 one be left off the list. I'll answer any questions you have.
Okay. While you're here, Aaron, I didn't have you go through the memo on this hearing, and I believe while you're still up here, it's appropriate for Aaron to review what our review is about.
Right. So this is one of the, well, this is the first challenge potential landmark property hearing you're having. And basically, as we discussed earlier, when these lists were put together of the potential landmark properties, really none of the property owners had any real input into that at all. So what we did was, is when we had this list prior to the council adopting it, we sent notice out to everyone that was on this potential landmark property list. Any of the owners that notified me back that they wished to challenge that designation, I added them to that challenge potential landmark list, and that's the one you guys are going to hopefully prioritize in October, and start kind of going through them and identifying, is this property truly a potential landmark property or is it not? As everybody's noted, the 106 group phase ones are fairly preliminary. What you're looking at here is, should this property remain a potential landmark property? This is not any sort of further research into, is this landmark or not? That would come at a later date. You're determining, should it stay as a potential landmark, where at some point you are going to have to do further research on it to determine if it's landmark or not. And that will basically entail having our consultant do a phase two study on it and bring back their recommendation. You'd have another public hearing at that point, those sort of things. But right now what you're saying is should this remain a potential landmark property, or do you feel that based on the information provided by the applicant, it doesn't qualify for that designation and should just be removed completely from the list? And this is what you're going to be repeating now with all the properties on that challenge potential landmark list at some point. It's going to take you a while, but at some point you will go through that whole list and have to do this very same thing. And again, it's basically a way for the property owners to have some input into this that they have not had up until this point. And then it's up to you then, to determine, should it be placed on the potential landmark list or should it be removed from any list and move forward from there? So that's what the purpose of this hearing is.
And Aaron, I think one of the challenges of this is that, as I understand the ordinance, and please correct me if I'm not understanding it correctly, is that it is up to the owner to demonstrate that it is not historic as stated in the 106 group phase one report.
Now, so to clarify, that is to really challenge that potential landmark designation, which I think is actually something that can happen at some point if they'd like. In this case, yes, we ask that they do that, but at the same time, we're asking just for a more in general, because these are things that, like I said, they've never had a chance to comment on. So yes, we would like them to mention why is this not historic and things like that. And that's where, you do have some of those items touched on in their submittal. But it's just a more in general way for them to present about their property and what it is and why they think it should not be on that potential list. So yes, it's part of it, but it can be more expansive than that as well. It does not have to just be limited to that.
Okay.
two-part questions. Is there any reason, any historical reason, that you think the 106 group report was inaccurate or maybe didn't present the facts fairly in terms of the history of the 6th Avenue property, 103 6th Avenue Southwest? That's one question. The second question is, you said blasting and other major construction in the area brought about signs of structural changes in the house. Is that to the exterior or is that to the interior? Like, what did you mean?
Every time there's a new building put up in that area, and the last big one was the Abrams, there's a lot of pile driving, a lot of blasting, and that affects it goes across the street. We're kitty corner across the street from the Abrams. And you get, we have a lot of settlement that we never had before, and it's ongoing, and that's all around the facility. Inside there are some cracked walls that we never had before, and that just goes on. That's just the way it is in that area, and it will be that way for years to come, because that's where the development's going to be. And what was the other question?
The other question is, one of our roles here is to determine if there's anything, do you think that the 106 group report is inaccurate in terms of the way it addressed the historical nature of the building at 103 6th Avenue?
Okay.
Can you clarify what that is quick, just so we, you know, the 106 group phase one report basically said that out of the A through H criteria that this would be potentially historic under criteria E, which they say is a good example of Dutch colonial revival residential architecture. And that E basically says its embodiment of distinguishing characteristics of an architectural style, period, form, or treatment. So basically they're basing their potential landmark off of that, that it is an example of a Dutch colonial revival residential house. That's the criteria they use. That's the one.
I can't disagree. I can disagree with it because at one time that's exactly what it was. It's been changed since then, and the property itself, the front porch, is not what it was years ago. It's a square front porch now that we put on. The windows have all been changed. There's additions on and additions taken off. And the back is nowhere near what it was when it was built. That property, and it's going through changes every day. You know, and they just, I think if they said it wasn't excellent, it was just a fair assessment of it, yeah.
But it did recommend, I guess the fair,
So what they say is that this building has fair integrity of materials due to modern replacement windows and doors. Few alterations have resulted in this building retaining good integrity of design, workmanship, association, and feeling. The building also retains good integrity of location and setting. Overall, this building has good integrity. That's where, like I said, and that's the criteria that they're basing it on is that.
Right.
I'd like to, so that people are participating, I'd like to look this way.
The additions to the property, do you know the history of any additions when they bought the building?
The brick house? Well, when we bought it in 91, we added, we've got a commercial kitchen in it, and then we had to take out a room that was off the side of the back of it some way, and to make the kitchen bigger. So the back of the house had a lot, over the years, has had a lot of change. The front has not, the sides have. The front is just the porch, and then above the porch there used to be French doors that came off of a bedroom, and they could walk out onto the porch. The porch is gone, and the windows, there is no French doors up there.
So in early 90s time frame was the last major modification, yeah. Into the backside of that property.
to throw this out there. It's just something we need to talk about. There are incentives that the city is coming up with, a revolving loan fund, other things. There are state and federal historic tax credits. Do any of those have an interest to you?
No.
Okay.
We paid for it. We just put a new roof on the brick house last year. So all these years that we've had it, it's been a hassle, but we keep it up. And on the inside, it could never be returned apartments again. It'll never be a single family dwelling again. So we've taken out all the kitchen. It was a 7-unit apartment building when we bought it. And we took out all the kitchens except for the main kitchen, and we made that a commercial kitchen. And then in each one of the units of, you know, in the apartments, it's dorm type of living. So some apartments we have, you know, 4 women, some men, and some we have, you know, 2, 3, whatever. In the men's house, we have 2 big units with 6 men. So,
one of the challenges of our ordinance, good or bad, or it's simply the way the ordinance is written, is our local ordinance doesn't consider the interior.
A big part?
It doesn't consider the interior.
Right.
It's only, you know, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about that. But that's the way it is at this point in time.
So, you know, the facility, as far as the integrity of the building, you know, they built them back then. And so if it's just starting to show some stuff, some wear and tear as far as cracks and things, that'll just get bigger now.
A side question on that is, it would seem that Mayo has some responsibility for Caisson.
Well, yeah, I went through all that with Beneke, I think it was the contractor, and then they push it on to somebody else, and the other guy was in charge of the dynamite or something, I don't know, you know, so, but, you know, and Mayo's got some property on your list, too, you're going to have to deal with, and one of them's been sitting there, I've been watching it, because it was always on the list right above me. And it's the Traveler's Motel, you know, and I see them every day. There's a dumpster over there, and they take out a little at a time. You know? And pretty soon, they'll be wanting to knock her down.
They've been arguing, by the way, that material that goes in the dumpster was actually from Rochester Towers next door, and they actually use that as a
folks,
as
stay
a
on cat.
To actually put it in the
Do we have that, I mean, so that we can permit the other people to testify, and we can call you back if we need to. But does anyone else have any other questions they'd like to ask?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to testify?
If there's no one else, you can close the public hearing and continue.
See ya.
You need to come up.
I have more questions.
That's okay.
I'm Judy Powers, one of the owners of the buildings that we're talking about. I guess my challenge is, and question, we're kind of wondering, where would we go from here? If this is designated as a historical piece of property, what do we do with it? We're getting to the point where, and we have over the years, we like the looks of the building very much. We like that kind of architecture. And every time we have done something different, we have tried to maintain that appearance and tried to keep that up. The problems that we're running into with our programs that we're running is we're completely running out of space. You know, our programs are, we have a philosophy in our programs that we, all the staff and all of the residents, are treated with dignity and respect. We hold that not only in their programming, but in the facility with which, the environment with which they're living too. We're getting to the point where it becomes more and more difficult. I mean, we spend thousands of dollars a year just maintaining that building, keeping things up to keep the program going. Like I say, we have an excellent group of staff. They're all professional people. They're people that have worked very hard to get their degrees and go on and get their licensure in chemical dependency. We're trying to provide adequate working spaces for them. Over the years, with what we started out with initially, where we had 20 beds, at that time, I was typing out the bills on a manual typewriter in our kitchen and sending them in. Since that time, we've had to add billing staff. We've had to add multiple. Everything has to be computerized. We have computers, printers going everywhere. Our space is just very, very limited. And that's why we're asking to have this removed. We would like to have some options down the road. We're not, I mean, we think probably in the very near future, the facility, the structure, and everything is going to kind of run its course for what we're doing. And so my question is, what do we do then? Do we just go out of business? Or, you know, when the facility is no longer usable for our program, and yet it's designated as something that can't be, as a property that can't be changed, then what do we do? That's the question I have. Actually, I'm thinking about the 613 building, too, and I don't know how this works here, if it kind of jumps on and off lists, and all of a sudden we've been on going under the premise right now that this has been removed from the list. Now all of a sudden we're going to be battling that one, too? I mean, you know, so I don't understand how all of this works. I guess I'd like some clarification, too. I mean, I just wonder, where do we move on from here? I know we have spent the last few years, we have been looking at different properties all over, even to move our program. Fortunately, our location is ideal for our residents. It provides them good access to, you know, to downtown, to work. All of our residents have to get jobs, or if they're not able to, they're involved in volunteer work. So it's been an excellent location, you know, for the program. And I think it's worked very well there. You know, we would like to keep it there, but our buildings are just not, are getting to the point where they're not accommodating that. So I'm just asking, what would you recommend we do then? So, I mean, you just have, I'm just trying to, you understand the point, the problem we're facing too. You know, and down the road here, you know, we've looked at expansion. We need to, you know, to something new that's not the maintenance hog that these buildings really are. Or if we wanted to sell the property, who's going to buy it? You know, I mean, this is what we're looking, you know. I mean, we're not at that point yet, but in the very near future, as far as our business goes, it's depending on a lot of things here. So,
I have a simple question. And again, the program in Rochester is relatively new. So understanding some of the steps is new information for everyone. In terms of looking at these two properties and figuring out how you could phase growth and change things, have you retained an architect that has looked at it, keeping those buildings and integrating those buildings with new construction so that, you know, you see if you could do it in that way? And I ask that simply because some of the programs in terms of programs that exist that can help you fiscally when you're working with heritage mm-hmm. properties are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that a local landmark, if it is designated as that, is reviewed under the building code as a historic building,
mm-hmm.
which changes its review process in terms of codes and things like that to be more adaptable to what exists and how it's used. So, and that's one of the things that the commission is, one of our charges is to help people understand all of those potential benefits. So as things like this are being looked at, that option is explored. It may not be in the end what you believe you wish to do, but what we would try to do when a building is potentially a landmark is to ask that it be explored.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess if that came to that, I guess we would welcome that. You know, we already have looked at maybe making additions to the building. which is going to completely change the architectural look of the building. I don't know how, you know, that works out, but there again, we've run into issues of structural problems to the existing building, you know, that is probably just wasn't that feasible. You know, we even...
Could you please come up to the mic? And you're both welcome to be here at the same time, if you'd like.
Once you start that, trying to hook up the new building with the old building, you open up a can of worms, because now all of a sudden the old building has to go by the codes, the present codes.
And I'm not necessarily
saying that.
I'm not suggesting a solution, but I understand your point.
Yeah.
Have you met with Aaron to go over in detail the different possibilities of dealing with your current building, even if it was a scar? In other words, like she was talking about different ways of doing it, different kinds of things that you want to.
The only thing that we've discussed is that potentially there could be a revolving loan fund or grant available, but we're not there yet. So we've discussed the potential that funding could be there if it gets that far. But you know, again, there's not much to discuss. We don't. The revolving loan fund isn't up and running yet. And then the second part of that is as far as any other incentives. Basically, they would be tied to some sort of national designation then if you're going to talk about tax credits and things. So we have discussed what it means and what potentially there could be, but at this point, we haven't got much farther than that.
And one thing with the national recognition is you ask to have your property put on. In this case, you're telling us what the property is. It's like you've taken a right away from us. We aren't as flexible as we used to be.
Well, it is true that Heritage Preservation is relatively new in Rochester, but we were one of the last cities in Minnesota that didn't have a Heritage Preservation ordinance. And it basically was considered, still as far as I know, considered to be settled law by the Supreme Court that communities could protect their historic. So it's not considered a taking. I mean, that's common parlance, but it's not. It hasn't been viewed that way by courts, in my understanding.
Well, I think Mr. Power's point was that functional obsolescence doesn't mean we run them out of business. And we have to be sensitive to that, too.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, though, that I'd like them to understand from my perspective, as I've been on this since its inception, is that there was always... After we took a survey of the citizens of Rochester, it was apparent that people value their rights, and that so I specifically wanted a means by which people had an option if they didn't want to be a part of historical recognition of their property, they had a right to appeal, and this is exactly what this is about, and that is the next step. That is what you can do. And then you come and you present your case. And this is what, of those that completed that survey, a lot of people feel similarly to you, in that you want to have a right to say what you do with your property. And so I think that needs to be respected. I think that is something that I know since this commission was formed, that has been very important, because that is what the citizens of Rochester, the community of Rochester as a whole, wanted. Is that they could determine what happened with their property. And so for me, I felt that it was important that we have a process by which homeowners, business property owners can come forward and say, we want to be included or we don't want to be included. And I think that is what makes us unique. And I think that you're coming here and expressing that is what you can do. You're answering your own question. You are doing what you wanted, you know, what you wanted us to know. You're letting us know, and we're discussing it. And I want you to know that it's important that any property owner can come forth and say, yes, we want to be included, or no, we don't. And I value that. And I think, and you'll find that you're not alone in that.
Somebody, if they're not on the list, they're removed from the list. Are they removed incentives and things that come together that appeal to them? Could they come back in 6 months and say, wow, this is a great carrot that you've offered us. Could we be back on the list?
2 years is the time frame.
If we remove them, even if they want to come back, they can't come back for 2 years.
2 years.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Just want to be clear.
I have one last question. Have you investigated? I'm trying to be an ambassador to historic preservation rather than, you know, create dividing us. Have you looked at connecting the property to modern facilities and keeping the integrity? Piggyback on what Christine was talking about. Well, you own the lot behind, right?
Yeah.
And you put a more modern building, but you preserve the integrity of the outside. Have you looked into that? Has architects reviewed it with you?
Actually, we have some plans for a building, and it will come very, very close to the brick house because.
I mean, does it preserve the brick house?
It will It would preserve it if it doesn't destroy it in the building process. But still, we go back to the same thing with the brick house. You know, we still, actually what we had looked at is, according to some of the codes and whatever, for the building that we were going to build behind, we can only go up so many stories. We started working with an architect to see if we could combine both programs, both men and women. For what the space that we have to work with, that's not really an option. I mean, it would be just way too hard to control the situation inside the house. Yeah, and so we could not have both in the property. So we are, you know, we could go so many, many floors, meaning that we would have to maintain at least the one program in one building while we get something built. We were hoping that maybe, or thinking that once we had that building built, if we had the brick house out of the way, we could add on to the new existing building that, you know.
I understand. The experts recommended tearing down the building and starting over.
We Colby and Wade. That's where we our clients in both programs, we call them residents, but they didn't wake up one morning, you know, and the sun was shining, and they thought it'd be a nice day to go to Pathway House. You know, so sometimes our folks don't like to be there right away the first day or two. So the supervision is very important. If we build two separate buildings, we build one building and then keep the brick building, we almost have to have a hallway or some way to connect the two. And once you open the brick house up, then everything has to be the same in the brick house as it is.
We have to meet all of the new codes, you know, which it means it has to be completely heating, wiring, you name it, has to, you know, to go through that.
I like old stuff, you know, mainly old people, but old stuff, my thing is barns. I love old barns.
Yes.
Zoning, but you know anything?
Why don't we
building and safety. Building and safety would tell you.
Building and safety is right behind.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, that's one thing that I like from the building, and I understand you're running a program that costs a lot to implement, and you want to keep some of the nature of it. I understand that. And I think we're here to support you on moving forward that way, the terms and niceties of that. I think it's possible.
But it would be possible without necessarily designated a landmark property.
Right. I don't think the landmark property has any effect on that.
I agree.
The only problem is that we're supposed to be a historical preservation. wouldn't remove it, frankly, from the list. I would consider going to our consultant to do a review of how the building is and the structure part of the building, because it's our obligation to sort of maintain the buildings. It's not, we're supposed to be sympathetic, but we're also supposed to be sort of, we're appointed to be on the historical preservation commission. So if we take something off just because somebody feels they might not be able to do it, to sort of do these features, I have a bit of a problem with that, although I understand that, but again...
Why would anybody challenge then? We just have to accept them all.
You know, I'm just saying, I
have a right to challenge.
Have a consultant look at the building and give them, you know, some opinion before we remove it from the list, which basically will have no say on demolition whatsoever.
And as long as that consultant is familiar with the type of program we would have.
So I was just going to ask the question, as we have a debate as a commission, is it part of the hearing and the public comment, or do we let everybody speak and then we'll have
this debate? And then we'll have a discussion.
I just didn't want to waste your time at the podium.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Thank you. Do I have anyone else wishing to speak? I will close the public hearing. Pleasure.
I have a question. Do we have something in place that if it's not, if they can prove it's not economically viable and they've tried?
We're only getting to that point when you're actually a landmark property. So when we talk about economic feasibility in the ordinance, it is in relation to landmark properties. Because to be honest, you know, if it's a potential landmark property and they apply for a demolition permit, we meet with them, we talk to them about, hopefully by then we have a revolving loan fund in place, we'd like to try to help you, whatever. They could say, it doesn't matter, we don't want to do this, we're going to demolish our building. We can't stop them. The only thing that would come up is the HPC would discuss it, and they would have to determine, do you want to nominate this as a landmark or not? And that's where you get into the point of making the decision is, do you think that this property is going to meet that criteria as a landmark? And obviously you've received your packet for the next hearing that we're going to continue, but that, you know, that's where you start having that conversation is that, does this meet that level to be a landmark? Because that is where the true protection comes in at that point. That's also the only time that they can get financial assistance from the city is as a landmark. And that's why, as an HPC, we are asking you to take a look at that potential landmark list and the challenge potential landmark list and prioritize them out, because we have a finite budget for our consultants to review. And while it would be nice to be able to review every property and have that, it's not realistic. So as an HPC, you need to decide which ones do you want to have our consultant review, and which ones can you look at and say, you know, we know that this ultimately probably is not going to be a landmark property. We don't see the need to have someone review it, because we look at this list and we know that we have X number of properties that potentially are landmarks that we should use our resources on. And that is part of what you have to do is that reality that you will have to make some of these decisions based on your own input and the input you receive in the hearing and the information that you have. But you know, it's not realistic to have a third-party review of all of them. And I don't think that you as a commission, it serves you to go through that process with all of these properties. That's why we're trying to get those prioritized and then narrowed down so you can focus on the ones that you feel as an HPC are the most important ones that we should be addressing now. And that's where this does come into play with this conversation.
Aaron, what is the, for PVN to look at the house, a single house, what is the approximate?
For phase two, they assume somewhere between $3,000 to $5,000.
Phase two is a very exhaustive study. Mm-hmm. We have a phase one, which some people may think is not enough. Phase two might be too much.
There's not much in between, though, really. Yeah, And it should be noted as well that the phase two doesn't look at the structural integrity of the property necessarily. That's a different review that would be done. If the question comes into this building really isn't structurally sound anymore, it has to come down, that's where PVN would actually be using a sub-consultant that focuses on the actual structural integrity, and we'd have them look at it for that.
Which is above and beyond the $3,000 to $5,000 estimate.
Yes. Well, I guess it's what are you looking for? I mean, what is the information that you want? I mean, you know, again, that's where I've been trying to get the commission.
Don't focus on that. That's already done.
I know. I'm just trying to get the commission to focus that you have to, but you have to take this into account, though.
It's not me.
But you do have to take this into account that, I mean, if you want more information, you can have your consultant give you more information. But just recognize that at a certain point, there will be no more funds left to do that for this year. You'll have to wait till next year to keep doing it. So it is just a reality. And with, that's not just with you, with any department. That's just kind of how it goes. But, you know, this is something that, in certain cases, we will have the owner or developer pay for that review because they are requesting something of the city. We had that with the original Hotel Carlton application, is that the developer was requesting a demolition and a development permit. They paid for the reviews that were done by the 106 group and by Mr. Hickey's group for the structural integrity and things like that, because they were requesting something of the city. In this situation, we as the city are making this, I guess, request of the owner, so we cannot expect the owner to pay in this situation. So that's where it comes in, is you can request more information, but you have to be willing to pay for that.
I'm just concerned that we had the consultant, one of the consultants from the 106 group, look at it, and they said they're finding it a stock.
No, they said it's potentially eligible.
Potentially eligible. But I don't know to counter that and say that
your grounds would be what your applicant has submitted and what they've testified this evening.
What I would like to do, this is, again, in respect to the full commission, I'd like to go down the commission's drive with Trent and sort of get a read on, do you think this building is important? You know, just summarizing, just so we go, you know, I think that would be a good thing to do so we can each hear each other and then share that data.
And can I qualify your instruction? It's not as important.
And I was
is it a landmark?
And that's,
I just want to make sure that we didn't mix words like that.
Well, in some ways, how important is it to you? I mean, this is, is it a landmark? And what is your read on this? Do you mind starting, Trent?
I mean, my big thing is, they brought a story about how it's going to, but they didn't bring anything to prove why it should be taken off historically to me, which is what I think we're here for, is we're here to decide, is this historic, is this not, or not, what are the financial impacts on them, per se.
Anything else?
I haven't seen anything that, you know, that key to historical landmark, but I think that both buildings are pretty nice buildings, of an era, of an architectural style that we're losing parts of. It's kind of a gateway to that neighborhood. Individual owners, I don't think, should be penalized for taking really good care of a property and providing a good program. I don't think that they should feel penalized for that. So I would be on Aaron's board of let's keep continuing to find things that are incentives locally, not only the federal incentives, local incentives that we can support the preservation of the urban fabric that was historic. I see this as a piece of urban fabric that's historic, not necessarily a key building that's historic. And that makes sense.
I don't know if I understood it.
Excuse me.
I was going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Are you saying that you think that it should be on the list? I think she was taking a temperature for the read, so I just wanted to know what you're.
I would like to see it stay with the list until we have more information of whether it should, what that criteria is. I think it's wavering on the criteria of what's on the list.
I'm sorry, you can't ask. Yeah.
No, we're only, this hearing is strictly about the property at 103 6th Avenue Southwest.
Any other questions?
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure I understood her correctly.
All right. Jamie?
So as I had reviewed the 106 reports and all of that, I was one of the commissioners who did rank my top 10, and this property was not on my top 10 to kind of address immediately. So, as you know, I do agree with Trent that I didn't hear a lot of evidence that it's not a potential landmark property, but in terms of priority, I would not
support looking at a phase two at this time. I think there's more pressing properties to look at.
We're thinking of like 10 years.
Yeah.
Like
so then this was not given everything that I'm hearing and seeing in terms of how I initially approached the list. I wouldn't necessarily disagree that it's something that needs to remain on the list.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I would be fine. This is not going to be a property that I necessarily myself would fight tooth and nail to keep on the list.
Do you think we should be limited? Can I ask her a question?
You may ask her a question.
Do you think we should be limited in what we recommend to the top 10 priorities as far as doing potential runoff? So if you not do 11 and 12.
Limited in what way? Just in keeping them on the list?
No.
I don't think we should be limited to keeping the 10 on the list because there's hundreds that are potentially on the list.
You would like to take off the list anything that isn't in the top 10?
Not anything. I'm just saying this property itself. I'm not,
this
one individually on its own merit. I'm not.
Again, what was being asked is in terms of how each of us are rating.
Yeah, I would agree with Jamie. This certainly wasn't on my list either. I think that the owners are doing the best they can to care for the property, and they, in good conscience, have been doing a good since 1991. Is that right? And so, for me, I think that they have stated their case that they want to make improvements, and so I would be open to removing it from the list per their request.
Well, I guess my view is sort of clear. I basically think that the list, the pending list, the potential landmark list, can have probably 20 or 30 projects on. This certainly would be in my top 20 or 30. And so I don't really think we should be limited to just 10. I don't think the ordinance ever said that. And that was just a way of sort of dealing with our priorities in terms of review. But since we're already going to be doing this, I don't know that we should then turn around and say, well, if it's not in our top 10, we shouldn't review it. I think we should look and see, does it have potential whenever it's reformed and gets a phase two for it to be on the list? I'm just concerned that we're going to work on the money about every project, every building. I'm just concerned that we're going to limit the number of buildings that are going to be on the list to two ways to do it. I just think that I don't want to be limited just to 10 buildings that are going to be advanced to phase two. And I just think that was more, I thought, a tool for us to just rank when we do them, but not necessarily limit the number of properties that are actually considered potential.
Nobody's ever said that. I mean, staff never said that your ranking would limit you to this
all. I think some of the other people are saying, well, this wasn't one of their top 10.
Well, but you're arguing different points. I mean, nobody is saying that we have to eliminate this.
No, I'm arguing that I think, given what the consultants had said, and that it was a possibility for the potential, I agree with the consultant.
And that's fine, but I think you should not be discussing this top 10 thing.
It's an extremely nice building. It falls within the context that we were doing, and I think it's clear that it should be continued on the list.
And that's understandable, but there are other people.
I think there are several factors that contribute to whether or not we consider it a potential landmark. I think it's a nice looking building. The consultants didn't say it was an extremely nice building. They said the building has fair integrity. I believe that because there are multiple facets that we consider, and this met one according to a consultant, and it was only potentially based on theirs, considered a different list. That's it.
I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but instead of just answering the question, I'd rather make a motion that
it's taking a long time, but it's a very big commission,
yeah.
And we haven't heard from everyone.
That's fine. I agree with Brent on the information that we've got. and taking it off the list is my opinion.
I think it's potentially a very nice historic building, but I would take it off the list because there's, as Aaron said, we have limited resources. And this, whether you call it top 10 or top 30, I think there's higher priorities than this property. And if they want it off the list, I would take it off the list.
So you don't have to necessarily use funds on it this year if we keep it on the list. That's the whole key to this. And if we take it off the list, it can't be put back on for 2 years.
That's my opinion. That's how it would work. That's my opinion.
Well, I would think that looking at the right of, I mean, the only criteria they cited was criteria D, about it being an embodiment or distinguished characteristics of an architectural period to form treatments. It seems that it wasn't very compelling in my mind. There was recent additions as of 91, so I would not be in favor of keeping it on the list.
I agree with what Brent said. The property owner's doing a good job. An interesting property, but I don't think it should be on the list.
Thank you. In terms of where this property is, I think it's a really beautiful home, but I'm a little the HVC started late, and we're not at a point where we can really be helpful to the owners in terms of understanding this. And that makes me, even though I wish it to remain on the potential list, because we can't really be helpful in very organized fashion, I would support taking it off. Noting that I think it's an incredibly fine building, and I hope you figure out how to work with it. And then in 2 years, come back and get it. I mean, because I think truly there are some wonderful options open, but it's also, it's your property. And that's clear in your testimony. So.
And Madam Chair, this should be confined to discussion with
I apologize.
The commission.
Do we have any further discussion, or do I have a motion?
Daniel's going to make a motion. Are you going to make a motion?
Motion to approve the owner's request to remove it from the list.
I second.
A second from Brent or Tom.
I would like to ask if there was anything that you wanted to supplement your motion with as far as reasons.
And Dan, that would be...
Yeah, it's based on the report that we received and also the fact that how much they love the property and have worked to keep it the way it is. But at this time, they'd like to take it off, and I'm hoping to go with their request.
And I have a second. Any further discussion? Pat, is that sufficient?
It is sufficient.
So any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor of the motion?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Okay.
With that one person? So it's only carried? All right. So it carried 8-1.
Fine. We got 10.
Carried as Teresa doesn't vote.
7, 8, 9, 10. We got 10 still. Yep, so 9-1. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Commission.
Yeah. We got 10.
Did you think it's vote, Christy? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
And so just a note so that the property owner knows that the other property that was discussed, the 613 Second Street Southwest, there hasn't been a decision made, but the HPC is going to get some more information, and then they're going to decide what to do with it, then you can have this conversation again, but we would schedule a hearing for that. So for now, they have to decide what to even do with it first, so there's nothing with it yet. And I can explain it to you after the meeting again, but just so you know that if there's going to be some action, you'll be informed.
To be clear, it's not in any list.
No, at this time.
Well, it was on the appendix.
None of the efficient challenged or potential.
Right.
I'd like to make make a general comment. And one of the things is, and it's one of the challenges with any program like this, is the data that's available for different properties, it comes at different times. And more data is found as people look at something carefully. And sometimes what happens is things go on a list and off a list. And it's not meant to be problematic, but it can be problematic. So, and I think the thing is that in terms of timeliness, it's inappropriate to act on this, but in terms of timeliness, if additional material is to be provided on that building from the people who have researched its history, that should be provided as quickly as possible. Otherwise, it's not a reasonable thing to do. So, you're welcome. Okay, we're going to move on to our second public hearing. And I'm going to read my recommendation first before we open the public hearing. My recommendations are to open the public hearing with the intent to continue to scheduled regular monthly meeting date. We're now excluding the date October 24th to the November 28th, which that is the Tuesday after the Thanksgiving week. So it's not the week of Thanksgiving, so that's good. Following a continuance vote, I would like to close the public hearing and seek a motion and a second and a vote to end the HPC meeting. And again, the reason for that is the owner's representatives have done a tremendous job of putting together a packet of information in terms of their challenges and what they think, and that is appreciated. Sadly, the distribution of that material came at a very late date. It was emailed Friday night, and many people I know didn't have weekend time to review it. So I reviewed precedents on things like this with the city attorney and with our assistant city attorney who staffs the HPC. And a move to continue so that the commission can have sufficient time to, as Brian McCool says, have full and fair opportunity to review and respond is the appropriate thing to do so the commission can act in a well-informed manner, in my opinion. So, are there any questions before I open the public hearing? All right, I'd like to open the public hearing on the Hotel Carlton. And I would like to ask for a motion.
Open.
No, I opened it. I'd like to ask for a motion to move to continue, to set a date, and then we can have a discussion.
I will move to continue the public hearing until our November 28th meeting, so we have sufficient time to review all the documents that were submitted.
No, a second.
Do I have any discussion?
We have a lot of information. Why aren't we?
So I can make a comment. Actually, I can make a comment too that from a staff perspective, there were a number of items identified that were procedural in that letter, and that we would like the time to research those and be able to make sure that we have a proper answer before we move forward as well. So not only is it just in general that you received a lot of information, but there are specific procedural questions that we would need to address internally between with the city attorney's office, and then we can present those to you so you know how to move forward. And right now, we don't think you can move forward efficiently until we can do that, and we have not had that opportunity. It's too much.
Thank you. So that, this is some of the legal challenges.
Yes.
We had of people who should be recused and things like that are unsettled, you're saying? This
more procedural, but yes. There's a number of things. Yes.
But one of the things is, in the procedural conversation with Terry Atkins and with Pat Alfredson, is that, again, people have different lives, and to have a submittal this late and to then expect everyone to have reviewed it, it is not a reasonable thing to do with a volunteer commission. So, all right, I have a motion and a second. Do I have any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Aye.
Oh, can I ask if we are Did we pick the specific date in the motion?
November 28th, which is our Thursday regular meeting date.
I just wanted to get the clarification.
Tuesday.
Thanks, sir. Tuesday regular meeting date. Thank you. They both start with T. okay, so did we vote?
Yes.
You
haven't asked for nays yet, though.
All in favor? Any opposed?
Nay.
So I have Brent and Dan. Anyone else that was a nay? Tom? Are you recusing yourself? Okay. So we have one abstention, I guess.
Call it that, because I don't have enough information. I studied this, I was ready.
Okay, I have one abstention and two nays.
Brent and who else said
Brent and Dan voted nay, and Tom abstained. Okay.
All right,
so motion carries.
Yes.
I'd like to close the public hearing, and I'd now like a motion to adjourn.
It's not a public hearing.
It's not a public hearing.
It is not a public hearing.
I closed the public hearing.
No, they continued the public hearing. There's not a requirement, and well, maybe I can pass
it.
No, it's continued. The hearing has been continued.
I agree. I should have said it is continued, but it is no longer open in this session. Yeah. No, it's continued to November 28th.
Sorry.
Yeah. You caught that. So, do I have a motion to adjourn? Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, guys. You didn't see anything.
So why did you say that? I'm saying you want to be left.